I wonder if we could turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. And we are going to read from verse 19 to just keep the reading short today. But verse 19 of Genesis 49, God, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. And if you turn over then to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and if you just look at verse 23, Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 23, and of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And we know the Lord will add his blessing again to the reading of his precious word. Let's just unite in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we come to thee afresh in our Saviour's precious name. We thank thee for the mercy of God that finds us here afresh. We thank thee that we can open up the word of God. We thank thee that Naphtali was full of the blessing of the Lord. Know that we might be full of thy blessing today. Thou hast come down in mighty power. And bless our gathering together as we meet around thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now we've been studying the blessings of Jacob and Moses on the tribes of Israel now for a little while. And we have come to the tribe of Naphtali. Naphtali was the sixth son of Jacob. And the second son of Bilhah, the handmaid of Rachel. He was the full brother of Dan. Naphtali was the last of the sons of the bondwoman that Jacob had to mention. And in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 8, we read that when Naphtali was born, it says, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed, and she called his name Naphtali. It means wrestling. And in the last few weeks we've looked at Dan and Gad and Asher, and we noticed that Jacob now perhaps has taken them out of order. They're not in the order that they were born. At the start he did that. He took Reuben first and so on. But now he's gone out of the sequence in which they were born. Now perhaps it was just that he was looking at them as they stood around the bedside. Just as they were coming along in his eyesight, he was dealing with them. There are those that would say there's a greater significance in the order here, because as you trace the blessings, you can trace the order of the revelation of God's dealings with man down through the ages. And you could look at that when you go home and see if you can find any significance in the order of the blessings here. But what I want you to notice just now is that the blessing of Naphtali is a very short blessing. It's just one sentence in one verse. And in Deuteronomy chapter 33, we find that Moses didn't have much to say about this tribe either. He has just one verse in that chapter too, verse 23. So altogether, we have just two verses to dig into and to see what they have to say. So thank God that when we do dig into them, there's great riches. There is a lot to discover as we look at what Jacob and what Moses had to say about the tribe of Naphtali. Jacob said that of Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. What a wonderful picture of blessing that is. And then Moses said in Deuteronomy 33, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor, and full of the blessing of the Lord. So here is a picture of great blessing. This was a tribe that God was going to bless. How we need the blessing of God today. We need God's smile upon us. We need to be full of God's blessing. How we covet that God would give us the fullness of the blessing that we need. And here's a tribe that was promised a full blessing from the hand of God. So let's look at that blessing today. What a thing if we can say that we are blessed of God. So let's look at what it says about this blessed tribe. The first thing I want you to see is his freedom. Jacob said, Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. He wasn't caged up. He was free. And you'll notice again that Jacob is using the picture of an animal, a hind, or sometimes referred to in the scriptures as the hart, one of the most graceful animals in the animal kingdom. But the thing about the deer or the hind is that it shouldn't be caged. It's not an animal that you can cage in. It needs to be let loose. It needs to be free. It needs to skip and jump. And maybe you think of the picture of the little lambs or the calves that are let out into the pastures in the springtime, and when they're set free and when they're let out, they skip and they jump and they're full of joy. And Naphtali, of course, was the son of a bondwoman. He was born into bondage, we could say, in some ways. But here is this son of a bondwoman. And Jacob says he is free. And isn't that the picture of every child of God? One time we were in bondage. But the Bible says whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You think of Jacob in the prison house for a number of years. And suddenly he was brought out and he was made a ruler in the kingdom of Egypt. And he was treated with honor and with respect. And you know, he was given robes and he was given riches and he was given servants. But I'm sure that the thing that Joseph treasured most when he got out of that prison house after all the years there was the freedom that he had. There are those that have been incarcerated in prisons for years and they get out and they speak of the intoxicating feeling of new freedom that they have. And thank God today that we have been set free. We've been brought out of the prison house of sin. We have been given a new freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from punishment. Freedom from the wrath of God. What a freedom every child of God has. I thought of the picture of Lot. And you know, Lot was delivered from the judgment of God when it was rained on Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Genesis chapter 19 and verses 24 and 25, it says, Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. And that was literal fire. And we read in the book of Jude that it was eternal fire. It was literal fire of hell that rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah. But you know, Lot was saved out of the fires, we said. And this is what the Bible says about that. It says, And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. But those words, out of the midst there, are the exact same words that are used here, where it says, Naphtali, that he's let loose. Let loose or out of the midst. And literally you could say that Lot was let loose from those flames, that brimstone that rained, that eternal fire. He was let loose from the fires of hell. Thank God for everyone here today. And you're let loose. You're free from the fires of hell. It'll never come upon you. You can say today that you're free indeed. Whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed. We have the freedom of God's salvation. And I hope that you have that freedom today. And if you don't, thank God the Lord can set you free. He can take you out of the bondage of sin. So we notice his freedom. Not only do we notice his freedom, but look at his fleetness. The hart or the hind is a fleet of foot animal. It was a swift animal. And in Genesis 49, it says, Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. This is the hind that's able to climb up into the steeps. The hind that's able to run and to go wherever it wants to go. And there is a legend, it's a Jewish legend, and the old rabbis have the story that Naphtali was a man who could run swiftly. And the story of the Jewish rabbis is, and it sort of fits in with what has been said here, but it's not scripture, it's not what we find in the Bible, but nevertheless what they say is that, you remember when the brothers went down to Egypt and they met Joseph, and Joseph revealed himself unto them, and then the brothers came back and they were going to tell old Jacob that Joseph, his son, was alive, and to give this goodly words, this sweet news that Joseph was alive. Well, according to the Jewish rabbis, that Naphtali ran and outstripped his brethren and came to Jacob, and he was the first to give the goodly words. He was the first to give the news that Joseph was alive. Now, that's not what we read in the Bible, so we can't put the sort of infallibility of the Bible upon that story. But nevertheless, it seems to fit in. You can think of Joseph remembering that Naphtali was the one who gave him the great news that Joseph was alive. But what I want you to think about here is that here's a tribe that was swift to give goodly words. They were quick to give the goodly words. And you know, we as God's people need to be swift to give goodly words. We need to be swift and quick to give out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be spreading the good news of the gospel. You know, in Luke chapter 14, the Lord told a story about a certain man who made a great supper and bade many. And we read that they all began to make excuse. And then he told them to go out into the highways and into the hedges and invite people to come in. He says, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. But I want you to notice the words, go out quickly. He said, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. And the Lord wants us to go out quickly. You know, we can get into a rut and we can think to ourselves, well, what would my words do, or what effect would I have in speaking to people, inviting people in under the sound of God's precious word. But the Lord says, go out quickly. You need to be like the roe, going up into the mountains and going into the steeps and going wherever you can to bring the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Willie Mullen, when he was the pastor in Bloomfield Baptist Church, led a man to the Lord by the name of John Carson. And John Carson was the bodyguard, the police bodyguard of the Prime Minister of Northern Ireland at the time. And after he was saved, he went to Pastor Mullen and he said to him, you know, I can't pray the way that others pray in the prayer meeting. I can't sing and I can't preach. He says, I'm going to make a vow to the Lord that I am going to get 7 people into the pews every Sunday morning. And he did that. He would fill up the seats on a Sunday morning and get people in on the Sunday evening. And he'd go out into the highways and the byways and try to get people in under the sound of God's precious word. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? What a blessed thing. If we could get one person in on a Sunday evening, if we could get a couple of people in on a Sunday evening, we could fill the pews with people in under the sound of God's precious word. And here he was fleet to give goodly words. Not only do we see his fleetness, but we see his firmness. Because the other thing about the hart or the hind is that it was sure of foot. It could climb the steeps or the steepest slope, and it could go where no other animal or very few other animals could go. The prophet Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 19 says, the Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. And the prophet noticed how light and how graceful was the hind, and how its steps were sure and steadfast, and it would sweep over the plains, and it would climb into the steeps, and it would never miss its footing over the rock and over the precipice, never seeming to put a foot wrong. And so we need to be able to climb into the steeps with God. And there are times when we need that steadfastness of staying put with God. Surely we need to be sure of foot. You know that maybe today your feet have been moved. Maybe you've tripped and fallen. Maybe you were going on with God, and somehow now you have fallen flat on your face. Once you were walking in close proximity to the Lord. We have to say, like Paul said to the Galatians, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Well, for a while you ran, but now you got hindered. You stopped. Our Christian experience shouldn't be a series of stops and starts, but it should be going on with God. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And dear child of God, if wandered away today, well, the Lord can make your feet like hinds' feet. He can make you sure of foot. He can give you that firm footedness so that you're able to walk with God. We see his firmness of foot. But then I want you to see his friendliness. It says of this tribe, he giveth goodly words. And it's not only good to give goodly words in the sense of going out and preaching the gospel, but it's good to have that sense of friendliness as well. Those goodly words will include, because it's the best news, the gospel, but also we think of those words of encouragement. You know, we can be encouragers like Barnabas, who was that great encourager and sought to encourage others. W.J. Lloyd was a preacher in Dublin many years ago, and he used to work amongst the policemen in Dublin. He did that for 43 years. But one day he was preaching to some policemen. He was feeling a lot downhearted. He was discouraged because there didn't seem to have been much fruit from his labour, and he was seemingly making no progress whatsoever. And the devil was getting him down and getting him depressed, and he felt as if there was nothing being done. Somebody came to him the next day, and he said, "While you were preaching yesterday," he said, "a man was brought to Christ." And W.J. Lloyd said that news was like a tonic to him. He said, some people might have thought, well, that'll puff him up, we'll not say anything to him. But he says, it didn't puff me up, it lifted me up. And sometimes we just need those little words of encouragement. Those goodly words. And the goodliest words that we can speak are the words about the Saviour and about his blessing upon our hearts and upon our lives. He giveth goodly words. So we notice his friendliness. But also you notice his favour. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and let's look at what Moses has to say about Naphtali. It says, and of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour. He's satisfied with favour. You don't often see people that are satisfied nowadays. I think of those words of Esau to Jacob when Jacob sent him presents to try and dampen any anger or thoughts of revenge against him. And Esau said to Jacob, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. I don't think we have met many people who would say, I've enough. We never do seem to have enough today. We're always seeking more and bigger and better. But here's a tremendous testimony of the Apostle Paul. He said, I learn in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. It's a great thing to be content. But I want you to see that this is a great thing to be satisfied with. He was satisfied with favor. Now, the word favor there would correspond to grace. What was Naphtali satisfied with? God's grace. Oh, God's grace. Old Matthew Henry says this: the favor of God only is the favor which is satisfying to the soul and puts true gladness into the heart. It's the favor of God that satisfies. It's the favor of God that brings peace. It's the favor of God that brings blessing. I was just counting up this morning something frightening to me when I realized that this year, in August this year, I'll be saved 40 years. I know I don't look it, but I will be saved 40 years this year. But you know, I can look back and I've failed the Lord many times, but the Lord's never failed me. He's one that satisfies. And when you have the Lord's favor, and when you have the Lord's blessing, my, that's a wonderful thing to have. So we notice his favor. But then I want you to see his force. How did he get this favor, really? Well, he got it from the Lord. But his name means wrestling, we said. The name Naphtali means wrestling. Deuteronomy 33, verse 23, it says, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. That's the west and the south of the Sea of Galilee. But this tribe has a blessing, and the clue to the way that it had obtained the blessing is in the meaning of the name wrestling. We think of how Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I prevailed, and she called his name Naphtali. But if you were to turn to that passage in Genesis 30, and you were to look in the margin, if you have a margin in the Bible, where it says, with great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, it says, with great wrestlings of God. It wasn't just wrestling, but it was wrestlings of God. Wrestlings with God. And that brings us to the thought of prayer. And Jacob, when he would have looked at this boy and remembered wrestling, I'm sure he was reminded of the time when he had wrestled with God. In Genesis 32, we read that he came to a place that he was to call Peniel. And we're told that Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. You remember how Jacob asked the man his name, and he began to realize that he was wrestling with the Lord. And he said to the Lord, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And Jacob held on to God and wrestled with God until he had obtained the blessing. And how, if we're going to have the favor of God, where will it come through? It'll come from God, but it comes as we wrestle. As we come to the place of God and we wrestle. And the word for wrestle there is a word that speaks of strenuous effort. Paul reminded the Christians in Ephesus, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And prayers are struggling. The word for wrestling in the Greek is words from the place where they used to have the athletic games. And it is the word from which we get our word agony. Wrestling is to do with agony. With struggle. I understand that in the novel Anne of Green Gables, Anne was encouraged by her foster mother to say her prayers, and Anne responds saying, one's prayers, she said, isn't exactly the same thing as praying. And she was right. Saying your prayers is not the same thing as praying. We need to get back to the place where we wrestle. Our congregation here, our denomination, was born out of mighty prayer meetings, out of wrestling with God. And we need to get back to that place. We think of the Savior, it says in Luke 22 and 44, and being in an agony, he prayed. more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And we can't ever enter into any part of what our Saviour did there in that agony. But certainly we can follow him as far as we can. Have we struggled in prayer? Have we wrestled in prayer? Have we sought to prevail with God in the place of prayer? If we want the favour of God, then it's going to be through the place of wrestling. But then I want you to see, not only do we see his force and his favour, but look at his fullness. It says here that he would be full of the blessing of the Lord. Now it's wonderful to be satisfied with the blessing of the Lord. But it's an even more wonderful thing to be full of the blessing of the Lord. And the blessing of God is the highest blessing that we could wish upon you. We think of what it says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. We think of those who had the favour of God. We think of Joseph. And Joseph had the favour of God with him. The Lord was with him. Now that didn't mean that Joseph's life wasn't one in which he experienced hardship, for he was sold by his brothers as a slave into Egypt. And then when he was in Egypt, he was lied against by his master's wife and put in prison and languished in prison for years. Didn't mean that there weren't going to be hard days and difficult days. But in the midst of all that, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was there. And we want that blessing. How God blessed Naphtali. He blessed him in a number of ways. He blessed him materially. He was full of the blessing of the Lord, because when he inherited the land, he inherited a fertile place. He inherited that bit of ground around the Sea of Galilee, which even today is a most fertile place. It was a south-facing land. It got the sunshine, and it was a place where the first fruits were brought in before the rest of the land of Israel. It was a land of bounty. But not only had he material blessings, he had prophetic blessings. Surely the reference to full blessing there has a reference to the fact that when the Lord Jesus would walk in his earthly ministry, that he would walk in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. The Lord Jesus conducted most of his earthly ministry in the land of Zebulun and in the land of Naphtali. It says in Matthew 4, verses 13 to 16, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness, saw great light, and to them which sat in the region, and shadow of death, light is sprung up. What a blessing that was. The Lord went into this land. And wherever the Lord went, the light came. The light of the gospel. In the midst of the shadow of death, there was light. Full blessing will mean the light of God will come in. We want the full blessing of God in our land. For that light to shine. For the Lord Jesus to be present in that special way. And for the light of God to be in our land. We want that blessing. Not only was there material blessing, prophetic blessing, there was spiritual blessing. When Moses spoke of being full of the blessing of the Lord, Naphtali hadn't got that blessing yet. It was just an aspiration. It was something for the future. And I'm sure he longed for times when he would be, those times when he would be full of the blessing of the Lord. And he hadn't got it yet, but he was aspiring to it. And that should be the picture of every one of us. We're aspiring to the full blessing of God. And I'm not talking about second blessing or anything like that. You know, God has mighty blessings that we feel to take hold of. There are mighty blessings that we feel to enter into. Will Houghton was a preacher from America, and he came over to Northern Ireland many years ago. He was an awful boozer in his unsaved days. And he was over conducting a gospel campaign here in Northern Ireland. It was a mighty time of blessing. And one time somebody went up to him in one of the meetings and they said, Well, God is with you. And he said, What is the secret of the mighty power that you have? Well, he said to him, well, when others have spoken about wanting to give their all to God, giving themselves to God, he said, I did it. I gave myself to God. And he said, that was the secret of the blessing. I give myself to God. We can speak a lot about giving of ourselves to God. We can speak about wanting the fullness of blessing. But you know, we need to go to God and we need to get hold of the blessings that God has for us. We need to enter deeper and fuller day by day to get hold of the mighty things that God has revealed to us in His Word. There is fuller blessing, deeper blessing, mightier blessing that we need to be entering into day by day. Here was an afterlife full of the blessing of the Lord. I could wish for you no better thing, men and women, than to be full of the blessing of the Lord. How much of that blessing do you know in your life? Do you know anything of that fullness, that satisfaction of being able to say, I'm walking with God, I'm giving myself to Him, I'm following Him each step of the way? Oh, let's be like this tribe that had the fullness of God's blessing. If you're not saved, you can't know any blessing in any deep way until you come and find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You come to Him and find the one whom to know is life eternal. May God write His word upon our hearts. Let's just unite in prayer.